This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Gracious God, help me to preach in a way that is good news to the poor, the weak, the widowed, the orphaned, all those who are most vulnerable. Help me to preach in a way that honors and respects those who will suffer and die this day for your gospel. Help me to preach in a way that seeks not my glory but yours, not the growth of this church, but the spread of your kingdom. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. What a wonderful welcome. That opening hymn, you sang it so beautifully, and I was looking out over the congregation, I saw so many people singing. You know, you could sing that song, that opening hymn, in a way that you know that people don't mean it. Or you can sing it as truly welcoming people. And you sang it like you truly do welcome. Thank you. As Reverend Wendy told you, my name is Mike Fidua. I am the rector of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, way, way up north. Why I'm here in September and not February, I don't have a clue. I've been rector of St. Andrew's for 21 years, and so the people of St. Andrew's want me to thank you for letting me come here and preach this weekend. Because I'm here, they don't have to listen to me again, and they're very grateful for that. I'm grateful, thankful to you for your wonderful hospitality shown me by your staff. Grateful that Father Marty would let me come and preach in his absence. Ironically, Father Marty and I were in seminary together 35 years ago. We were in Dominican Republic together this past spring. I looked up across the table, and there was this man with this name, Marty Zladek. I said, Marty Zladek, Mike Fidua, I introduced myself, and he had that stunned look on his face, because we hadn't seen each other in 35 years, and I'm sure he thought, my God, Fidua, you look old. That was exactly the look. It was all over his face. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to you as a congregation because of your long-time support of Food for the Poor. I saw on the list that I'm the 13th speaker that's come to St. Joseph from Food for the Poor. Lucky 13 I am. And I know that a lot of you are longtime supporters of that ministry. And I thank you. Because by your support, with your support, you give people hope and you transform and you save lives. The gospel today is one of the most confusing and complicated gospels that we have. What a strange teaching of Jesus. The parable is clear enough, right? There is an owner of a business, and he realizes that his manager is squandering his property. So like any good owner, he fires the manager. But the manager is shrewd. And so immediately he acts decisively to save his own skin. You owe 100 olive oil, make it 80. You owe 80 bushels of wheat or whatever of wheat, sit down and make it 50. This man knew that he was in trouble, and he knew he had to do something quickly to save his skin. After that, the parable gets really complicated, doesn't it? Dishonest wealth, making friends to welcome you to the eternal habitations, not being able to serve two masters, until at the end, the gospel is crystal clear. Crystal clear. You can't serve God and wealth. That's the teaching of Jesus. You can't do it. No matter how shrewd you are, no matter how much you try, you can't serve them both. You will either use God to serve your wealth or use your wealth to serve God. I'm here this morning to give you the opportunity to use your wealth to serve God. To use your wealth to serve God by using your wealth to give water to the thirsty, food to the hungry, and shelter to the homeless. You know, this morning as we were getting ready for worship, doing all our Sunday ritual things, taking our shower, drinking our juice, having our breakfast, whatever we do in the morning, tens of thousands of people, mostly women and children, tens of thousands of people in Central America and the Caribbean have a different ritual. It's not a Sunday ritual, it's a ritual they practice every day. One little girl, Choquette, lives in rural Haiti. She got up, and as her ritual, she picks up her gallon jugs, and she walks a few miles down the hillside, over rocks, some rugged paths. And she comes to a place where she can get water. It's not a spigot. It's not clean water, but it's a creek. And it's filthy. The creek is filthy because animals drink there. They stand in the water. People upstream bathe there, wash their clothes there. The creek is filled with all sorts of parasites and bacteria. It is water that we would never think of drinking. But she fills those jugs and then she walks home, those same miles back up the hill, carrying jugs of water. Some people do that. Some people do that two or three times a day. And they do it every day of the week. Their Sunday is just like their Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. There's no time for church, of course. There's no time for school, for the children. There's no time for play. Every day, they carry that cross of water. And they have to, or else they'll die. Supporters of Food for the Poor lift that cross off their shoulder. In over 30 years, Food for the Poor, by the donations of its supporters, has installed over 1,500 water purification systems. That's not counting the wells that they dig, but systems and cisterns. They put sanitation devices now in every house they build. Since the earthquake in 2010, they put 60 water filtration systems in Haiti and made more than 150 wells. Over 600,000 gallons of pure water a day are produced by those systems. That water is the difference between life and death. In 2009, I made my first pilgrimage to Haiti with Food for the Poor, and lots of things stand out. When we got there, the trip coordinator, Leanne Chung, told us about Food for the Poor, and she marveled about everything that you are able to accomplish. They have built more than 83,000 homes in 30 years. They have sent more than 60,000 trailers filled with building supplies and medical supplies. When we were in Haiti, we went to lots of the sites that Food for the Poor supports. We went to health clinics and feeding clinics, orphanages and schools, churches. Those feeding centers feed hundreds of thousands of people every day. At one of the churches, we gave out shoes, dozens and dozens and dozens of new shoes. But as part of that distribution, we wash the feet of the people of that parish. What a powerful experience that was, to kneel down and wash the feet of the brothers and sisters of Jesus. At another site, we gave out school supplies. We gave out pencils and crayons and paper and pens and books and staplers and tape and rubber bands, all sorts of school supplies. And then, because it was December, we gave out wristbands, wristbands that had a Christmas message on them. And after we gave out a few dozen of those, actually over 100, a little boy, Jean, came up to me and started tugging at my wristband. It's just like this one. On it is written one word, one. I wore it as a reminder to me that we are all sons and daughters of one God, all citizens of one country, one earth, I should say, and all brothers and sisters of one Savior, Jesus Christ. He tugged at that wristband, so of course I gave it to him. I got home and I got another one, and now I wear it. And I think and I pray for Jean and all the people that we met in Haiti. This was December of 2009. And of course, we remember that in January of 2010 was that earthquake that killed over 200,000 people and injured tens and thousands of others. One of those injured was a little boy named Oresto. Oresto was playing with his cousin. The house was destroyed. His mother was killed. His aunt was killed. And his cousin was killed. 4 or 5 days after the earthquake, digging through the rubble, they found Oresto and they carried him miles and miles to the hospital. And there, with a clinic set up outside with medicines and medical supplies donated by people like yourselves, Oresto's life was saved. Food for the poor, thanks to your generosity, continues to save lives in Haiti and in 17 other countries. On my last trip to Haiti, we went to some of the same sites that we had visited 4 years ago. Some of them had been repaired because they were damaged. Some were completely destroyed, so they were completely rebuilt. We went to a school that was completely rebuilt by Food for the Poor. And at that school, the second graders came out, and they sang for us and danced for us, and then they prayed for us. This second grade girl came up to me, and she put her hands on my head and made the sign of the cross and anointed me. This second grade child of God prayed for me. It was the most humbling moment of my life. And I realized that she wasn't praying for me. She was giving thanks for all the supporters of Food for the Poor, because she knows that because of their sacrifice, they have helped transform her life. I am here today to invite you to become part of that ministry. In the pews are these trifolds. If you'd pick one of those up, please. They tell you a lot about the ministry of Food for the Poor. Remember the gospel, where the man was praised because he acted decisively? He knew what he had to do, and he did it. So the owner commended him. Mike Cassell taught me years ago the 11th commandment, thou shalt not procrastinate. Doesn't that sound like Mike Cassell? It sure does. So, for $205, you can build a water pump for a village. For $43.80, you can feed a hungry child for a year. For $3,200, you can build a house. In fact, for $3,200, you can build two houses, because right now there's a matching grant for every house built, paid for this year. There are organizations that will pay for another one. This wonderful trifold rips off and becomes an envelope. And that's where you can make your donation. Think of this donation, think of this gift as offering thanks for the water you drank this morning, for the shoes, the clothes that you're wearing, for the medicine that you'll take today. Maybe somebody can buy a house or a water pump. Maybe somebody can say that they will pray for food for the poor, or that they will ask for prayers. Maybe somebody wants to go on a pilgrimage with food for the poor. Maybe somebody can make monthly gifts. That's what my wife and I do. Every month we make a gift. Do you know that for less than $4 a month, you can feed a child for a year? Think of that. $4 a month, and you can feed a child of God for a year. Whatever you can do, whatever you can do, I would be humbled. And you will become partners of this ministry. And you will save people's lives. Be shrewd today with your riches. Use your riches to make friends that will welcome you into the eternal habitations. As a colic says, do not be anxious about earthly things, but hold on to things that shall endure. And even while we are placed among things that are passing away, hold on to those things that are eternal. Our wealth will pass away. Our sacrifices and our generosity and our love endures. Put your envelopes in the offertory, or give them to me, or take them home, but don't procrastinate. And I thank you.